Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship here at the table. We are aware that there's just so much happening right outside the doors of this sanctuary. We have Ezekiel here with Rise Up Bread, and we have so many families that are in line with kiddos to help register for Godly Play as we move in this space, and we're grateful to gather with you all for worship as we move in this series that we're calling Do Unto Others. And we're moving along with other churches in the United States as we move toward this election season, trying to hold the values that Jesus invites us into as we reflect on how we move in this divisive moment. I want to pause and share a moment of gratitude. We're really grateful to have Jorge Dominguez with us this morning to share our message this morning. Jorge is a United Methodist pastor, a friend, and a mentor for me and for Linda in this annual conference. He moved here to our region a number of years ago and has helped churches in our region become healthier and more vital. He is a person that I have just the utmost respect for as a human and as a pastor, and the way that he cares both for me and for others. And he and Rosangela have been part of our community over the last several years. And Jorge is in a moment of transition, like several other folks in our annual conference, pastors in this time. And so we are grateful the way that that transition has opened an opportunity for us to have you with us this morning. So I am going to invite us to stand in body or spirit as you're willing or able. Our musicians are going to help us move into worship, and we invite you to join your voices as you feel led. This is Gravity of Love.
I lift my eyes up to the hills. This my morning song, where my strength comes from. I lift my eyes up to the hills. This my evening song, where my help comes from. This is the gravity of love. Just as the moon follows the sun, you're all around. You're holding everything. This is the hope for every man. Just as the universe expands, your love is reaching. You're holding everything. We lift our eyes up to the hills. The gravity of love, just as the moon follows the sun, you're all around me, you're holding everything. This is the hope of every man. Just as the universe expands, your love is reaching. This is the gravity of love.
invite us to remain standing, and we'll share together with one voice this prayer together. Creator God, we ask you to come close and remind us of our belovedness as your children, for we are feeling distant. Open our eyes to the beauty and pain we all contain, and invite us to do unto others in ways that build up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the center that holds, and in the power of the Spirit that transforms. Amen. And I'll invite us to remain standing if you feel led. And this is our music team's version of a hymn from a number of decades ago, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go."
Torch to thee, my heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter fair. Chase the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not there that morn shall deliver me. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. Light's glory day, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be, life that shall endless be, life that shall endless be.
Invite us to be seated. We'll continue to move in worship. This is a video that Seska has created for us to help us move into the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, and the call to do unto others. So I invite us to hold this as we move in a spirit of prayer.
Here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden-variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way God, our parent, lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. God, our parent, is kind. you be kind.
And I'll invite us to stand again in body or spirit, and this is our music team sharing See the Love, and I invite you to join your voices as you feel led.
Every day we go to war again, we assume we know so much more than them before we hear what they have to say. Headline breaks and we start to hate again, calling them names again. We give our peace away. I hope they see it, 'cause I wanna see it. I hope we believe it. I wanna see the love. Away, and then we know that there is pain within. We cannot medicate. Learn to feel, learn to begin again. Open our eyes again to see our neighbor's pain. I hope they see. I want to see it. I hope we believe it. I want to see the love all around you, all around you. I want to know
Good morning, my name is Bob Martinez, and I could feel all the all the love around us as that little one came up here and adoringly looked at the music team. That was just amazing. Thank you, Jill. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians provide us with a little walking music. I'll remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are sadly experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship at both 9:30 and 11, and godly play takes place at 9:30 upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of Matthew, verses 34 through 40. I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard, updated version. Now when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is greatest?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets."
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your boundless love. Open our hearts today to receive your message on kindness, on love, and guide us to reflect your compassion in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, friends. As Matt mentioned, I just arrived last night from a week in Tucson, Arizona, in southern border, and was glad to find that it was only 90 here. Actually, it was over 106 every day there, and to be at the desert with 106 during the day, it's an experience, and it gives me a lot of respect for people who do that to survive. But during this month, during this worship series, I have been thinking that I could not mention migrants eating cats and dogs. All of the rumors and accusations and stories repeated over and over again, I thought that it was pretty simple to say, you know what? We are better than that. To show kindness and love towards vulnerable migrants from Haiti is so simple. They came to the U.S. for decades in desperation due to many disasters, earthquakes, hurricanes, political distress, violence, and they were received with kindness, with open arms in our country. They are here legally. Why can't we show love towards them? It should be simple. They are our neighbors. So you just show love to them the same way you would expect others would show love for you if you were in a situation like that. And then we are just following the commandments that Jesus asked us. Case closed. Message concluded, right? Not so fast. You see, if we are watching some news, or depending on the bubble we live in, you would not necessarily come to the same conclusion. The question is not how we love the Haitians or not. The question is, can we love those who are unkind and show no love for the Haitians? Well, Jesus was also dealing with two parties those days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were trying to entrap Jesus in their debate, in their own theological conversation. And if you read the verses from Matthew 22, just before, you will see that this was actually the third question that they were asking Jesus. On verse 15, the Pharisees asked, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? Give the emperor's things to the emperor. Give God's things to God." Jesus turned the question around and not fall into that trap. And then the Sadducees come on verse 23 and say, "Is in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven brothers will this woman be? Because she had been married to all of the brothers as they were dying." And Jesus responded, "In the resurrection, they neither married nor are given to marriage." And they were silenced. And then we hear the Pharisees gather again and say, "Okay, now we get him, because he was able to silence the Sadducees, so he might be on our side. Which is the greatest commandment? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself." And I was reading these passages after other, one after other, I actually thought, it feels like a presidential debate. And who answers with the smartest question? But Jesus is always turning them away from that never-ending dialogue. They were trying to trap Jesus in their own bubble. They were not interested in the well-being of the people who were affected by those questions. They were not concerned about that woman. They were not thinking about paying taxes or not paying taxes. They were actually just trying to set a trap. No concern for the impact on the most vulnerable. Well, today, like in Jesus' times, we live in a division that is typifying our life in the world. And it's actually displayed in these red and blue colors that it's very interesting if you think from outside the U.S. why the Republicans are red and the Democrats are blue, but that would be another conversation. The fact is, this division is happening all over the world. It happens in my country of origin, in Brazil, in Latin America. You see what's going on in Venezuela, Argentina, but it also happens in Africa, in Europe, in Asia. And we see that this divided, totally polarized world is spreading. It's becoming the norm. Being unkind to the other because they are different has been normalized, as if this is what we do to each other. Matt just mentioned, and I shared, that I'm coming back from this week-long trip to the southern border. It was a meeting of the National Volunteers in Mission Board, and part of our meeting was to also visit organizations that are doing work to support migrants and to advocate for their rights and a better conditions at the southern border. We spent the last 3 days actually doing those visits in the desert and going across the border, walking and driving along the border wall. I would not have time to share with you all of the things that I experienced these days, but there are some things that I wanted to share. And it starts with a woman named Dora Rodriguez, and you will be able to find her. DoraRodriguez.org is her website. She is a woman from El Salvador, who was a community youth leader in her country in the late 70s. And in 1980, one night, she got home from a meeting and heard shots at her door. So she was, when the shots stopped, she went outside and found one of her co-leaders dead. He had been assassinated by the paramilitary there. She realized she had to leave, and the next day, she started a journey. And it ended that she was part of a team of 26 people who then got into a bus and got away from El Salvador through Guatemala, through Mexico, getting to the Sonora Desert. And it was a tragedy. 13 people died. A horrible death in the desert after being abandoned by one of their guides and the other didn't know the way, including three teenage sisters from age 12 to 16 that she befriended. She was 19 at that time. She described what she felt, and she actually told us, I was probably less than half an hour to be dead when they found us. Dora was never granted asylum. She was kept in the U.S. just to be a witness on the trial that followed that tragedy. Later, she became involved with the sanctuary movement. It was actually her photo in 1980 that made the whole nation of the Border Patrol carrying her, totally almost dying, to safety. And people were saying, this shouldn't be happening. So a sanctuary movement started in Tucson to give and house and protect those migrants who were crossing out of desperation sanctuary in the churches. And a friend of mine who I stayed with in Tucson these days actually was one of those persons, and she was later prosecuted by federal court because she was doing what needed to be done. Dora later became a citizen through marriage and started volunteering with the movement that actually saved her life. And today she leads an organization that supports migrants on both sides of the border. She said to us, I was made known that I survived for a reason. I need to do this. Today she is supporting a large group of women from the border town, very tiny town called Sasabe. Those border towns, they all have the same names in general. So you have both Nogales, Nogales, Mexico, Nogales, Arizona, Sasabe, Mexico, Sasabe, Arizona. And in a year ago, in October of last year, almost the whole population of the town, 2,500 people, had to flee when gangs that were disputing the human and drug traffic in the area from the cartel attacked the city and started to recruit people to work with them, and people had to flee. Houses were put in fire, shots were being fired at the port of entry, because there is a small port of entry there. The Border Patrol only allowed a few people to come in. The others had to flee into the mountains along the border, along the wall, and find ways to cross into the U.S. for safety. They couldn't go south. That's where the fight was happening. They could only go north, and they had this huge wall in front of them. But there are some openings. And speaking of the wall, it's there. At least portions of it. It's the most foolish engineering project I have ever seen in my life. You can imagine, this is, let's put a wall that is 30 feet high in a straight line, an imaginary straight line across the desert that is very rugged. And you don't actually go with the environment. You actually just go straight in a place that doesn't rain for most of the year, but when it rains, it's the monsoon. And every year, the monsoon comes and carries away the wall. They actually put this taller wall, the 30 feet high, during the Trump administration, and the Biden administration has been doing the work. They have been fixing that. It's hugely cost and insane. But they put the wall, and they start to keep going along the border. And we were driving. Gail, a volunteer with the Tucson Samaritans, drove us along that wall for probably more than half an hour. And we come to this place called Cerro Fresnal. And it's 1,000 feet tall mountain. So when they were putting the wall, they got to that mountain. It's very steep. They couldn't put the wall on the mountain, so they started to blast the mountain. And you can see this weird thing, that this mountain that's halfway blasted, and it didn't work. They couldn't put the wall over that, because when they blasted, they didn't have the foundation for them to fix the wall. And then the Biden administration stopped building that. We went around the mountain, and we actually got to the other side that they haven't blasted yet. And there is a waterfall. During the monsoons, there is a waterfall that comes down the mountain. And I said, who would think about this? It's not going to work. But that opening allows some migrants to come in. So that's a place that every week Gail and the Samaritans of Tucson come to see if there are some migrants there hiding, waiting. She comes to the wall and starts calling, amigos, somos amigos, somos amigos. And some days happen that there are people there waiting. 2 weeks ago, there was a group of 7 people. 7 young men. They were coming from one of the towns that were being involved in this gang dispute. And they came to her, and she has very broken Spanish, and they don't speak English, so they started talking, and they finally were able to say, call the migra. They wanted the Border Patrol to come to arrest them and then deport them in Nogales, which is a safer town. What they needed was a ride. They wanted a ride to go to Nogales. That's where they wanted to go, because it wasn't safe for them to go elsewhere. There was no invasion. There was just a request for, can you give me a lift there? We went to Nogales to visit Casa de la Misericordia, House of Mercy. That was a shelter for women and families started by a former nun, Lika. It started in March of 2020, and they opened the doors to people who were there camping on the streets waiting to cross into the port of entry in Nogales the day before the pandemic started. And the border closed, and it was closed for a long time. So what was supposed to be a shelter, temporary shelter for those families, became a school and a safe space during times that those kids couldn't go to school. They couldn't register. Remember, the schools were closed. And these kids were there, 40 of them. And they decided to just get some teachers and start a class and provide education, including a psychologist to help the children and the families to deal with the trauma that they were bringing for the reason that they were crossing that border. And lawyers from the Justice for our neighbors from Arizona would come in regularly to help them prepare their asylum cases, to prepare for what they were going to present and ask for safety here in the U.S. Back in Tucson, we visited this office of the Arizona J-FON, and we learned about their efforts to provide legal support for families that are processing their case through the immigration courts. And it's a very long process. They have to work with them for sometimes years. But just a small minority are actually asylum seekers. The majority, 2/3 of the cases, are actually family reunification. Again, there isn't an invasion. These are families trying to get together after sometimes years and years that they have been separated. That same afternoon, Friday, Vice President Harris was also at the border in Douglas, not far from where we were, declaring that she will be tougher than Biden in the administration to enforce the border security and restrict asylum. So between mass deportations and tougher border security that push migrants further into deadly crossings, the most vulnerable ones are more and more dependent on kindness, on people who are willing to take risks and leave their own bubbles and meet those who are just searching for safety or a better life. Jesus was aware of those divisions in his time and invited people to do to others what you would have them to do to you. Rather than stay in our bubbles, these golden rules challenges us to engage in conversations and to create a common good we can build with our relatives, with our friends, our neighbors, and even strangers who we might consider to be on that other side, the other bubble. It is outside of our bubbles that we will meet the ones that are in need of our love, because they are not in either bubble. They are in that purple space in the middle where they are just trying to survive and hoping for some kindness and love. It's there where we cultivate that kindness, compassion, respect, love. It's there where we also meet Jesus himself. Loving our neighbors, be relatives, co-workers, acquaintances, bosses, even strangers, as ourselves, is not a simple task. It's not easy. We can only do that when we accept God's love and find that strength to love as God loves. We embrace the story of Jesus in our own lives, the one who loved across the lines and stood up for the least and the lost. With faith, no matter how different our positions and politics may be, we will be able to move forward in love. Disagreeing is not contradictory to love and grace. Indeed, the creation, our creation, depends on all of us working together for a better world filled with kindness, compassion, love, even towards the creation itself, so other generations will have a home to live. Adam Hampton said in one of his sermons that God doesn't care how right we are as much as he cares about how much we love. And sometimes the most brilliant clarity in life on life's dilemmas emerges when things get most chaotic. That was what Jesus was experiencing, because this teaching, this interaction with the Pharisees and the Sadducees was actually just before he declared, "I'm heading to Jerusalem. I will be arrested. I will be crucified soon. I'm crossing that border, that wall, to get into this needed sacrifice." It is like he is giving us this golden rule, this ethical teaching that is the summary of all his message. So when we wonder what's the point of being Christian, when we wonder how we confront issues like homelessness, juvenile incarceration, or immigration, when we wonder how are we going to live as a nation after this chaotic election and political process that we are going through, just look and remember this passage. Love God. Love your neighbor. This is the "what would Jesus do" question when it comes to divisions, political or otherwise. We can look at all the chaos around us, in our families, in our work, in our cities, and we can listen to these words, but we can also listen to what people are trying to say. We can pay attention and decide what we want to do. Can we ask ourselves, am I loving God here at this moment? Am I loving my neighbor? Well, Jim Henderson and Jim Hancock from Seattle studied and did a movie about people who were reaching out to opposite sides to have meaningful conversations. And they developed from that experience a process to deal with differences. They call it the three practices for crossing the difference divide. And they apply that in circles of conversations that people join. And they discuss these three practices. The first one is, I will be unusually interested in others. I will be genuinely interested and curious about the other person that's in front of me. I have to listen to them. I have to really be present. The practice two is, I will stay in the room with the difference. And that's not easy. It's fearful. Because we like the safety of not having to engage. And this author and journalist, Catherine Schultz, puts it in this way. Imagination is that which enables us to enjoy stories other than our own. But empathy is which enables us to take those stories seriously. It's not only the exotic. It's something that we want to understand and learn for their lives. And the practice three is, I will stop comparing my best with your worst. In other words, no stereotypes. I will not just prejudge people for what they seem to be just because I heard something or saw a tone in their voice. These are good ways to approach this red and blue divide. No matter what happens in this coming election and whether one side wins or loses, we are challenged as Christians to recognize that those results matter less than whatever or not, whether or not we will be living into these great commandments from Jesus, loving God and loving our neighbors. By the way, Gail, that volunteer from the Tucson Samaritans, she has a regular task every Wednesday. The migrants who left Sasabe, those families, they applied for asylum, so they cannot go back into Mexico, probably for years until their cases are processed. So they actually give Gail pet food every Wednesday, and she drives to Sasabe. Actually, I was just at the door of the city there, and you can see the house is mostly empty, but there are about 100 people living there and a lot of dogs and cats that were left behind. So she brings the food and feed the pets. This past Wednesday, I saw the photo. She fed 20 dogs. No, the migrants are not eating their pets. They are feeding them. Feeding with love. Let us pray. We pray again that in the name of Jesus, the center that holds and the power of the Spirit that transforms, we are able to love and feel the world with this love. Amen.
Amen. I'm reminded that Jesus himself was part of a family that was forced on the move as a child, was himself a refugee, part of a refugee family, a migrant who crossed borders. And then he gathered in a moment that was not safe for him, for the followers that were around him, not safe like it's not safe on our border today. And he looked at those friends, and they were at not a wall, but they were at a table. A table is a place where you have to slow down a little bit. I guess you don't have to, but you're invited to. It's a place that you can be really curious. And it's a place that you can choose to stay a while. And in that, Jesus also said, somos amigos. And saw friends and invited folks to that table. And so we make that, as followers of Jesus, the center of our life together, a practice that helps us to welcome across every perceived division the neighbor that is both within us and around us. And so Jesus did this, and it was God's table, a table of humility and compassion, a table of respect, and ultimately a table of love. And Jesus did that in his day with folks who were from different worldviews, didn't always mirror his own. He simply offered, though, a place to be, to sit down at a table, and to see what kind of transformation God might move into in that. And so we, as followers of that way, pattern our life in worship, trusting that by doing this every week, this starts to seep into who we are. And then we start to live these ways in the world. And so I want to invite us to do just that, to come to God's table across every difference, trusting that there is room. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit. The church gives us a practice to help us prepare to come to this table, recognizing that we fall short of living in the ways that God longs for us to be. And the church calls this a prayer of confession. And so I invite us into a call and response that Pastor Jorge will lead us in and to join our voices.
For all the ways we colonize each other with expectations, beliefs, judgments, and our own fear.
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
For all the ways we squander right relationship, choosing being right over relationship.
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
For all the ways we abuse our freedom, engaging hateful speech towards those not on our side.
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
For all the ways we deny equality and belovedness of all, deeming some in and others out.
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
Jesus said, I have come to set the prisoner free. No matter what binds you this day, freedom is yours through the new life made known in Christ. In the name of the one who came to loose the chains, you are forgiven. The whole of God's creation is set free. Let us all share together in this good news.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, set free. Thanks be to God. Amen. And I invite us to join in the call and response that has become the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of God across every division around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those gathered near to you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is
it's right. It is a good and holy thing to give our praise to God this day. God, the creator of the cosmos, the liberator of creation, the mystery of the divine. You, God, unleashed your creative power and a world blossomed. You bestowed upon every living thing, life and breath and color and movement. No matter how many battles we wage within and between ourselves and against you, your promise, your vision, your gifts of peace and abundance continue. And so we lift our voices in celebration of you, three in one, the divine dance in which we live and move and have our being.
Blessed is the gift made known in your child, Jesus. To those who are imprisoned by status, law, illness, poverty, gender, age, and disease, he said, "You are set free. You are a child of God." And he invited the disciples, friends, and strangers alike to the table. He proclaimed God's grace to all with whom he broke the bread. And he proclaimed God's love to all with whom he shared the cup.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna.
That night, when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." Invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language and pronouns which most dear to you and are true to your own heart.
Pai nosso que estás no céu, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Holy Spirit, transform this meal and this body, that we might be set free to love without condition, invite without hesitation, and go without reservation, proclaiming your kindness, your compassion, your humility, and your love to all the world. May the people of God say amen.
Amen.
And I invite you to be seated. Here at the table, we practice what is called an open communion table, so we trust that this table is God's table, and so all are invited to join in this meal. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church or a part of this community or any community in that way. All are invited to gather together in this space. Before you on the plates, we'll have two stations in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. On the plate, you'll find bread that was baked for us this weekend. And then in the center is always an option for those who need a gluten-free cracker. It is there in the plate as well. And always in our tradition, the cup is filled with juice. And we do this as a way to try to ensure that more and more people can feel welcome to this space and this time. And so we encourage you to move about this. As Pastor Linda always says, there is nothing you can do to make a mistake. We will watch over each other in love, care for each other as we move and join with God in this divine dance. Around us, for those in the sanctuary, are places to pause and to pray, to kneel or to stand and light candles in moments of prayer. We encourage those who are gathering online to find now whatever you might use for your bread and juice as we join together in this time of communion or common union. Friends, this is the body of Christ, broken for you and for the whole world. And this is the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for all. Amen. Georgia, the bread of life, broken for you and for the whole world. And the cup of God's forgiveness poured out for you, Georgia. Amen. Thank you.
We encourage those praying with candles to stay in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, we give you thanks for the love made known in this simple and sacred act of breaking bread and sharing from a cup. May the depths of your peace bind us together, and may your love call us into the world to align with the presence of Jesus in the hope that you long for us to find. Amen, amen, amen.
In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously. In support of our ministry here at the table, your generosity helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply with God's fierce love for the world. Thank you for practicing your faith by giving generously. Rise Up Bread is available just outside the sanctuary doors. And Ezekiel is there, and he's set up his tent just so beautiful, and his presence is so amazing. We have a number of ways for you to connect with others and reach in love in coming weeks, which we'd like to share. First, at Table Farm, we have a final blessing and fall celebration at the Table Farm from 5 to 6:30 on Thursday, October 10th. Then we'll gather at 9 till 1 p.m. for moving day at Table Farm on Saturday, October 26th.
Wait, look at that. That's a great picture.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Moving That's day. What it looks like to move a farm. Yeah. We've been wondering. Sorry.
Puppies, we will also host two concerts here at the Sanctuary next month, and details for each on our website. The first concert, Elder Flora, will be Friday, October 11th. Elder Flora is a story of a life of a tree, told from a perspective of a tree itself. Elder Flora, which means old trees, follows a tree life from a tiny seedling to towering megaflora to decaying nurse log on the ground. Tickets for you and your friends can be found on our website. The second concert will be Saturday, October 26th, and will feature the band of our music team, Solo Bell. Finally, we'll celebrate baptism on October 27th. If you would like to talk to our co-pastors about baptism for you and your family member, please reach out on our website today. You'll also find on our website a link for a six-week series we call Growing in Faith. This is a way to connect with others and learn more about how we practice faith here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith series will begin on November 12th.
So I'll invite us to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians are going to send us out this morning with a song that some of us have been learning as we bring this worship series to a close. This is The Power of Kindness.
Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love. We don't know what's coming, but we can help shape what's ahead. With kindness as our currency, the commonwealth is in our hands. So give a little, give a little, oh, give a lot, don't stop. A helping hand makes the world go round. There's more than enough. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love.
In the power of love.
Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power of love. Look up. We are the river flowing, the generosity abound.
Holy One, show you the way to do unto others with love. May the Christ, whose light is the center of all that is, ground you in the assurance that no one is outside of love. May the Spirit show forth through you in extraordinary acts you will never imagine you had the power to achieve. And may you know the peace that surpasses all understanding, especially when it's difficult to understand. And the people said, Amen.